It's great to be here to talk to you about our energy management plans. It's supposed to be fossil fuels today, right? So today, I want to tell you a bit about what the university does in terms of energy management and who we are as energy users at McGill and energy users in Canada. And the main purpose of this presentation is to show you, to give you a demonstration of a great tool we're going to introduce very soon on campus for the whole community. So my first question, if we talk about energy, would be who are we as energy users? Do you have any idea? And my first question to you would be, we Canadians, if we compare ourselves to the richest countries or the most developed countries in the world, do you think on a per capita basis we use a lot of energy or not that much energy? Are we energy hogs or really energy efficient? Hogs, you would say? Yeah? Well, everybody agrees on that, and you're right, actually. As you can see on this bar chart, we even outranked the USA. I'd like to say it's a bit of a shame, right? Because they're supposed to be the most energy-intensive economy of this world. We just have two little countries in front of us, Iceland and Luxembourg, and it's for very specific reasons. They have a very small population. Iceland has a lot of aluminum plants, which typically consume a lot of energy, and Luxembourg, I have no idea. But what you can remember about that is just that Canada, in all the wealthiest and most developed nations of this world, is the most energy intensive. We're an energy hog, we have to admit that, right? Now, if we come back to McGill, we're talking about greenhouse gas emissions, and how do you think McGill, as an institution, performs as far as greenhouse gas emissions are concerned? And this one is a bit trickier. Yeah? What would you say? Do we produce a lot of greenhouse gas emissions? If we compare ourselves, for example, to North America or other universities in Quebec and Canada?
Yeah. Hogs, if we include everything. If we include all the travel and so on and so forth.
Yeah, true. And we're working on that, and it's a great... It's a complicated exercise, and I know the Office of Sustainability is working on that to include, for example, we have farmland, we have animals at the McDonald campus plant, and transportation should be taken into account up to a certain level because there are different guidelines. But what I took was just energy consumption, and this is what shows in the different reports. And no, we're not hogs, actually, in this case. And why? Well, mainly because we have a lot of hydro, and hydro is virtually greenhouse gas emissions free in Quebec, even though it's debatable. So we perform rather well per student. We are greenhouse gas emissions to heat and cool the premises and power them is just above 2.0 tons of CO2 equivalent per year. And the average in the USA, for example, is more around 7. So we're not that bad. Like, you know, let's when we're not too bad at something, let's say, okay, it's not that bad, and recognize it. Yeah, that is true, but unfortunately, they haven't gone down. So it might be even worse for the other universities. I mean, but the only ones I could find online for all universities, for Quebec, Ontario, Canada, were in 2002-03. I acknowledge that. Unfortunately, the energy consumption has kept on going up, so it can only be worse in a way for them.
My impression was that a lot of energy consumption comes from workstations, and with the improved power efficiency of those systems going on, one would expect actually that component at least to be used.
It's not that it's an important part of our energy consumption, but not that much actually. Heating is a huge part, especially in Quebec. And then all the ventilation fans you have on the different buildings, like, well, the Wong is not really a good example, but the Automass Chemistry building, for example, has ventilation 24/7, and the ventilation requirements for labs, all those fume hoods are a real headache for all universities across North America. And this consumes, so even if PUE, as you say, for data centers, is improving a great deal, computer power increases as well. For McGill, for example, I know that between 2002 and 2006 it doubled, and between 2006 and 2012 it's expected to double again. So even though we're improving the PUE, we still need more computer power than we used to. But a very good point. Thank you. So this little one is like energy facts at McGill. What you can see is that the downtown campus obviously consumes most of the energy consumed by the university, around 90%. What you can see from that as well is that nearly 55% of all the energy we consume at McGill is natural gas. The other part is hydro mainly. And roughly, just for energy consumption, the greenhouse gas emissions related to that are roughly 30,000 tons a year. So if I tell you we consume 1.4 million gigajoule a year, it doesn't really speak to you, right? Nobody knows what a gigajoule is. But if I tell you that with the energy we consume at McGill, we could power the city of London for 2 days. London is a pretty big city. It's one of the biggest cities in Europe. It's still a lot. Or we could power the city, well, Washington, D.C., for 3 days. It's not that big, but still a lot. And if you were to use your iPhone, you know, because all students seem to live like 24/7 on their iPhone, if you were to use it 24/7 or your BlackBerry, you could use it for 9 million years, which would be a lot of time. But imagine your bill. That would be crazy. Or last but not least, if you had the crazy idea of running around the world, you could do so for 18 million times with the energy we consume every year at McGill. So it's pretty cool, you know, equivalent of what 1.4 million gigajoule means. Now, this is our consumption per square meter, or square foot, as you wish, over the past 10 years. What you can see is that the university has invested money. There was no real energy management plan per se, but investments were made, and we can see the results. And this is the rationale to say we need to invest more money in energy efficiency. So we've been going down, and unless we keep on investing money, we plan that the energy use, this is the energy we use per square meter, is going to go way up. Why? Because the university gets more students every year, more researchers and research equipment, and more computers for all the experiments we carry out, etc. So it's going to go way up, unfortunately, if we don't do anything. So our plan is to reverse this trend and to follow more this sort of green curve, which you see, to go down. So how do we do that? Well, our approach is as such. First, we have a cornerstone, which is McGill's 5-year investment program of $35 million and more in energy conservation measures. And this is very important, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more into detail later. But what's even more important is to engage the community. Students are really engaged. Some of you, well, some of them are here today, you guys. But and it's really important to understand that we can upgrade the ventilation systems in the buildings, for example. But I cannot be behind each and every single researcher and ask them to shut their sash when they don't use their fume hood. Or I cannot be in each and every room, you know, bedrooms in the res, and ask students to shut their windows in the winter. Or, yeah, no, but it's true. Imagine that. Or I cannot be behind each and every single staff and ask them to turn off the lights as they leave their office and turn off the computer because they won't need it at night. You know, and this is where we need to work with the whole community to create a more energy aware community. And I know that students are really involved, and we want to give you the tools to do that. So it's really crucial to us. The other part is we are trying to work actively with the project management team at McGill in charge of all the renovation and construction projects to have more efficient buildings, and we're really trying to cooperate a lot on that. We're working with the design team as well to have more stringent and beyond compliance energy standards. And we're trying to identify buildings or areas where we could innovate and have alternative energies. Because, yes, hydro is green, but there's something else out there, right? And so these are our targets, our institutional targets. We want to reach at least a reduction of 14% of energy use within 5 years. And to that end, we plan on investing $35 million project. We've started already with major projects. One of them is the energy monitoring system. And why to do so? Well, There's a very famous saying in management that says you can't measure what you can't, you can't manage what you can't measure. It's pretty much the same thing, right? And so we said, okay, yes, we're going to install meters in all the buildings to know how much we consume per meter, because at the moment we don't know. We're in the process of installing these 400 meters all around the campus. And something we said was, okay, yes, we're going to meter the energy, but wouldn't it be cool to give this information to the community, to let people know what's happening in the different buildings, right? And this is where we said, well, how about having an energy dashboard in every building, and we could sort of show to the occupants of the building how much energy their building consumes. And this is what I'm going to show you in a minute. So this dashboard, this is McGill's energy dashboard. It's going to be publicly available, and anybody will be able to go online and see in real time how much energy their building consumes. So you can see that you can see the electricity consumption of the buildings, the chilled water consumption, the steam consumption, and well, very soon there's going to be natural gas and hot water where we have hot water networks. It's pretty cool. You have a map where you can see both campuses. It's a bit slow, but imagine you have a Google map here. There you go. Because we plan on having it for the McDonald campus and the downtown campus. So you just zoom in and choose the building you want to visualize. So what I want to show you today is University Center. As you can see, we have already quite a few buildings online. We don't have all the meters for these buildings. For some of them, we just have electricity, and others we just have steam. So we're really working on developing the tool. Now, if I show you University Center, what's kind of cool is you can see what was the electricity demand for the past week for this building. You can go see how much electricity it consumed over the past month, or the past 3 months. And there's a nice equivalent as well for people to understand. If I tell you University Center consumed more than 180,000 kilowatt hours over the past month, it doesn't really speak to you. But if I say, okay, and I could light the Eiffel Tower for 9 days with it, it's a nice equivalent. Or once again, you could go around the world. We like that. But we're going to have other equivalents that really speak to people and that are a bit more salient to our surroundings here at McGill. You can there's a green feature section as well. And what we want to do with that is that we want to let people know what's happening in their buildings. In the Bronfman Management Building, for example, there is a student group actively involved in sustainability and management. And it's not that nobody knows that on campus, but it's worth being promoted. So every green features in the buildings, we're going to document them here. You can play around the tool and compare different buildings, different locations, different fuels over different periods of time. For example, here we could choose Bronfman, for example. And so the Bronfman building consumes much more energy than the University Center. Just makes sense so far. You can rank them. You can see how much greenhouse, how many tons of carbon were produced just by using electricity and steam, etc. So it's a great tool. We're really excited about that. It's going to be online within a fortnight, approximately. And what we want to do with it is that we really want students to come and see us and see, okay, I can see that in this building, for example, that there's a spike of consumption, or it doesn't make sense that we should consume so much power. You can see University Center, for example, consumes between nighttime and daytime, there's a huge difference in power demand. Maybe we could do something to reduce this power. You know, everybody can make something, as you said, chaque geste compte. So any initiative will make a difference, and this is what we really want to foster. Yes, I see a question there.
Yeah, I'm curious whether some people actually have responsibility for trying to get the power down. Yeah. I mean, the facilities manager.
It is my role, like as energy manager.
For the entire university.
So we have, we have the program, the investment program, that will try to lower these numbers, but when you talk about software measures, let's say, in a way, you know, awareness campaigns or shut your sash programs, we're relying more on students to do that. So, yes, we're responsible. We're for.
For example, the Bronfman building, wouldn't it make sense for the person who, I found the Bronfman building, yeah. I don't even know who I would want to talk to try to do that. So the information is fantastic and I'm trying to stimulate it, but then what's the next step?
Well, the next step would be for you to communicate with, to try and communicate with Office of Sustainability, or ourselves, because Lilith is back there, or ourselves, and try and see what we could do in this program, in this building. If we can help you, I don't know, NCS, for example.
It doesn't seem that you could do all that yourself. So my question is, we have this tool, would it be smart to have somebody whose job it really is to do this? It would probably target that person's job description. I think it's lacking nowadays.
It's a fair point, but we actually rely on grassroots initiatives at this point. And we hope
that strategy, you think that will move things along quite as quickly as we like?
We're in management, right? Well, at the moment, this is what we have, but I'm open for suggestions. If we had somebody in charge of that, we would need resources for that as well, because we have quite a few buildings on campus.
I know that we have a person whose job is to run our building.
Mm-hmm.
Does that person have any incentive to hear ideas, to try to reduce this? Does he have any target that he's trying to meet? Is he aware? And what motivation does he have to actually think about this?
It's an excellent point. And there's something we might do there. We might what we're trying to do as well is cooperate more with operations people, for example, who could make a difference by changing the controls of the different systems. Or we could speak with the different labs or, the people responsible for computer labs in the buildings, because NCS, for example, has a program to automatically turn off your computers when you're not using them. But people don't know that. So, yes, this is our mission in a way, to be a sort of bridge, a link between the different tools and options that are available on campus. And that's a challenge, I'm going to tell you, to let the porter or operations people on site know what's available out there. Yes?
Two questions. One is data accessible through a database approach for actual research? Because this is fun for clicking stuff.
Yeah.
But actually getting something valuable in terms of scientific, right?
Understood. We have the database, and it would be on a case-by-case.
So it wouldn't be accessible through a SQL database?
Not really.
What would that be?
I don't know. That's a good question, but we didn't really want to. It's not really
want someone instrument. To offer a real solution beyond. It feels like maybe we should close this slide. There's actually researchers at McGill who would be able to provide a real cool solution.
And a lot of researchers or students, being their masters or even undergraduate students, come and see us and ask for this information, which we have and which we can give. It's just not our. We don't want to put that publicly online because the databases are huge, takes a lot of space, and for not so much security reasons. But I mean, we're really open to providing all the information possible, but we don't want to put that all online.
Yeah. Do you have one person that's actually analyzing this data and like a profit?
Well, at the moment we are just we're just still working on installing all the meters, and step two is going to be having somebody there. What I didn't talk about is that there's a sort of benchmark or a typical curve that is calculated for every building based on history consumptions and on actual temperatures or weather conditions, and then it sort of plots another curve that tells you how much the building should be consuming versus how much it's actually consuming. And this is what we're going to follow, these trends, for one thing. So we have sort of messages that not pop up but are sent to us to let us know on which building specifically we should be focusing today or tomorrow, whatever. That's one thing. Second, yes, it's part of my job to sit in front of my computer and analyze the trends and stuff all day long. And there's something else I wanted to say, but I lost it, I guess. Yes, We might be working with Natural Resources Canada and Hydro-Québec. We're looking at it to really use these data and do what's called data mining, to really try to understand better how the buildings respond to different conditions, so occupancy patterns, weather conditions, or well, you name it.
That's exactly what the community is really good at in terms of statistics. And that happens when the data is available. People won't go anymore and try to find data. If the data is available, you'll have people who are data scientists who will just have fun and give you wonderful
access. Something we could look at would be I would rather work on a basis where you sort of create a group of users that are interested in having these data, but not really putting, I mean, I'm not going to put my database online for everybody because I use it for other purposes, and if ever something happens in it for security reasons or whatever, that's more the rationale, but I see you smile.
There's an intermediate solution is to have just a page that describes the data,
how to access it,
how to access it, procedure, why.
Security in terms of database management, you don't access your database. You have a mirror of your database somewhere that's accessed and it can be done on an elastic cloud, so it doesn't cost much. It increases if it's used a lot. So, but I'm sure you've got computer engineers that.
Well, we'll look into that. That's a good point. And now what I have to do is to convince the administration, which is something else. So I'm going to work on that. It's a fair point. I appreciate that. So I think for the demo, at least, this is what it's going to look like. And in 2 weeks, it's going to be available online. Now, if I just would like to go back to the presentation for a couple of slides. Let you know the other stuff we're doing. So we have, I was talking about major investments. Yes, installing meters costs a lot of money, but what we plan to do is first retrofitting all the lighting systems. So the one building, for example, is pretty new. But if you talk about the education building, all the lights are quite old. So yes, we're changing tubes and stuff. And we're not the first ones to do that, to be honest. We're pretty late in this regard. However, what we're trying to do is have more intelligent systems. So to switch off the lights when there's nobody in the room or the corridors, for example, or to turn them off. Turn them off. That's good English? Good. Turn them off as well when you know there's enough daylight coming in the building. So this is what we're working on. We're trying to evaluate as well different technologies on the market because LEDs, for example, are a great product, but we have to see where it fits, for what usage we could use it, and if the quality is here, because it's not always the case. So this is what we are doing with that, and we're going to go through the 50 main buildings on campus, on the downtown and the McDonald campus. Another one we have is sort of energy audits. So we have 50 main buildings. What we're trying to do is to check up the health of the buildings. You know, there are huge potentials in terms of energy savings at McGill because the campus is quite old. The average age of the buildings is more than 50 years old, so definitely there's room for improvement. What we're trying to do with energy audits is we have a team of professionals that goes through the building. They talk with occupants, with people from operations, and they try to see how much money we should invest in this building to make it greener. So in the process, we're trying to involve building occupants, and that might be students, that might be researchers who are there, or just people, you know, other staff like facilities and operations staff. And it's a challenge, we're trying to see whether there could be synergies between the different buildings. And by synergy, an example would be the Burnside Hall. The computer servers, most of the computer servers of the university are there, and they generate a lot of heat, for example. But Burnside Hall doesn't need that much heat because it's just mainly offices or classrooms on the other floors. However, the Automass chemistry building nearby uses a lot of heat. It's an energy hog. We estimate that it consumes approximately 5% of all the energy used by the university. So we said, hold on a minute. How about using this heat, recycling it to preheat the ventilation air of the Automass building? And this is what I call synergy. It's not a genius idea, but you had to think about it. You had to convince people to invest in infrastructures to stop losing this heat and using it somewhere else. And this is what we're trying to identify through this project, too. Recommissioning, it's more technical, but it's more working on the control aspect of all the ventilation systems we have. Ventilation consumes a lot of energy. The buildings were built in the 50s, 60s. The ventilation systems are old, and sometimes the controls are not adequate. So we're trying to address that with this program. And the last thing is, other projects. It's an easy category. But here we have major investments such as the upgrade of the ventilation system for the libraries that's about to start. Or there's a very big project planned for the McDonald campus to rethink the whole distribution network, the whole energy distribution network there, and see whether we could save money, we could save energy, and we could include more green or sustainable energies to it. So I think it sort of wraps up my presentation. And what I want to say is, yes, we have an infrastructure program. We're going to invest money. But again, we cannot do that on our own. As you mentioned earlier, building occupants are the ones who can really make a difference, you know? Yes, I think so. You're saying no, but I can't do it. Yeah, well,
I don't have a switch.
No, but you can turn off your computer, for example.
Of course, you can turn off the computer.
You can take this.
There's only so much you can do as an occupant.
There's always so much.
It's important to identify a really illustrious point. You're serious about this? You have to find people that people can make change. And not everybody can make change. You're just throwing it out there for people to volunteer. It's kind of wishing for a very happy solution, but it's not realistic, in my opinion.
Well, we are investing a lot of money, but we also need people, for example, to push for solutions if you see that you're going to
push
it. But yeah, exactly. So you can come to push me. And it's a good point because I need backup as well to convince you know, the university that this is where you should invest and just forget about this building. And this is what we mean as well, but then and last thing, well, difficulty managed right now, we don't have that many people registered, I guess, so it's pretty easy to just go there and register. So if you have any more questions, be happy to answer them. These are questions.
Well, thank you.